We have breaking news. Congressman Raja Krishnamurthy was reelected. Congratulations, Congressman.
Hey, thank you, John. I got my fifth term. The voters gave me a high five, so I appreciate that.
56% of the vote compared to your foe with 44% of the vote. It says here, Krishnamurthy, first elected to Congress in 2016, is the ranking Democrat member of the House Select Committee on the Chinese Communist Party, Harvard-educated lawyer. He held posts for the state, including former deputy state treasurer, Northwest Side, serving the west and northwest suburbs as well. 56%. Are you satisfied with that, Congressman? That's 12 points by which you beat your Republican foe. Should it have been more? Should it have been less? Is that about where you thought you'd is that where you thought you would be?
Look, every politician wants to get 100%, right? So I think I'm pleased by the result. We could always do better, and but that being said, there are certain challenging circumstances, and I'm very happy to walk away with a healthy victory.
Yeah, well, it certainly is that by any metric. But just let me ask you one question about what you alluded to, and then we'll talk about some of these nominees in Washington, D.C., and that is that there was a red wave of sorts, not just, in the presidential election, but throughout the country, throughout Chicago, throughout Illinois, more and more people seem to be voting Republicans in all kinds of demographics. What should Democrats make about that?
I think the central issue is the economy. We have to recognize that nothing, there's no more sensitive nerve in the body than the pocketbook nerve. And, when costs are going up, when people are paying more for gas and groceries and housing, it doesn't really matter if our economy as a whole is the envy of the world or the best in the world. You know, if you're having trouble like making ends meet. And so I think that lesson really rang out to me more than anything else. And we have to kind of not only meet people where they are and listen, but then we have to kind of come together with other people to do something about it. And that's what I intend to do.
I wondered if it was a measure of messaging, too. I mean, yeah, macroeconomics mean nothing to somebody who is strapped to pay for their food. But I wonder if there is a way for the Democrats to say the cavalry is coming. It's better big picture, and you will feel it soon enough. I guess that message was too little too late, huh?
I think so. I think that I definitely feel that people understood that, Kamala Harris wanted to do more to help them in this department. But at the same time, I think that message might not necessarily have been the one that everybody was saying at the same time. And I think that, you need to have sometimes what is that? A choir needs to sing in unison, and it needs to sound loud, be loud and be clear for the message to get across. And I think that's what we need to do from the get go. And I think that, we have to continue to reflect on, the lessons from this election and look at the data and the rest. But that's just one of the observations that I have.
Sure. Where do you want to start? There's a whole host of people. The president has announced he wants to serve him in the White House. What stands out to you today?
Well, I think Matt Gaetz. I mean, the Gaetz nomination to be attorney general caught pretty much every Democrat and Republican by surprise. I don't know a single Republican, let alone a Democrat, who thinks that, Matt Gaetz should be on the short list to be attorney general. Remember, Matt Gaetz is caught up in a huge ethics probe in the House. The report was supposed to be released, I think, today or tomorrow. And Matt Gaetz, quickly resigned on Wednesday night, right as soon as the president-elect nominated him to be attorney general. The import of that, the reason why he did that, is so that the ethics probe report which comes out from a bipartisan committee in the House, does not come out once someone resigns. So that's really why he did that. And just, you know, so your listeners know, and maybe they're already aware, but there's a host of very serious allegations, including, you know, sex trafficking, having sexual relations with a minor, improper receipt of gifts, and the list goes on and on. And, like, he was associated with people in the underworld. I mean, it's just a bizarre set of allegations. And so when you have someone who's accused of breaking so many laws, how could he possibly be considered with the position of enforcing the laws? It just doesn't make any sense.
Department of Justice has decided not to press charges against him, but this House investigation, this bipartisan investigation, goes on regardless. The results were just about to be released. Now it's a moot issue because he's no longer a member of the Congress. So do you suppose the president actually then asked him to be attorney general so that he could gracefully leave the Congress and quash this report?
I think that's a legitimate question. I don't know, but I think
he'll be within the
realm of possibility.
Okay, but he'll be an unemployed person then, because having given up his seat in the Congress, and if he's not attorney general, then he could go be a Fox commentator or whatever he wants to do,
correct.
But he's essentially made a quick exit from public life.
Temporarily, right? I mean, he's going to find a platform to continue with his, let's just say, advocacy efforts, whether it's on Fox or elsewhere. Can I say one other thing about this, which really bothers me as well, which is, you know, I'm on the Intelligence Committee, and you and I have talked about this a number of times in other contexts. But, you know, when you have someone like Matt Gaetz nominated for such a high position, and let's just pretend for a second that he actually did survive Senate confirmation and he became the Attorney General, then all of a sudden we have someone with tremendous liabilities who's a tremendous counterintelligence risk. And the reason for that is, you know, it only takes one foreign adversary to learn about the truth of these allegations through surveillance, through recordings, through hacking, and that's happening all the time, by the way, to numerous citizens, to then confront him with the truth of his allegations that he's denied and to blackmail him. And then all of a sudden you have someone with visibility and access to our highest secrets as a nation who's being blackmailed by a foreign power, and you'd never want that person to be there. You just never would. So that's another big problem for me, among others.
What do you think of the, I've got about a minute left, about the possible new Secretary of Defense?
I don't know this guy. One of my colleagues pointed out an article that came out in a major publication the moment that he was announced, saying, you know, who the F is this person? And I think that's what a lot of us are trying to figure out. He doesn't seem to have the credentialing of some of the other people that were nominated, by the way, like Mike Waltz, who's my colleague, Republican in the House, whom I respect and I work with every day. For that matter, even John Ratcliffe, whom I worked with in the House and who's been nominated for CIA director. And so without those credentials and so forth, it's very hard to assess their qualifications. All that being said, that's why we have hearings. So I hope that senators will really grill these folks very carefully.
Raja Krishnamurthy is the reelected Democrat from Illinois' 8th. Congressman, congratulations. We'll talk again.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much.